The best-selling book, Go Like Hell, written by A.J. Bame and the movie Ford vs. Ferrari, present the tumultuous events leading up to the 1966 Le Mans car race. At that end of that race, the victor, Ken Miles, driving a Carroll Shelby-prepared Ford GT40 car, was pipped at the post as a result of the corporate shenanigans of Ford Motor Company. It is well known that the co-driver in Ken Miles' car was a New Zealander, Denny Holm, and the car that crossed the finish line first was also driven by a pair of New Zealanders, Bruce McLaren and his acolyte, Chris Amon. The 66 Le Mans victory occurred when I was 12 years old, growing up in New Zealand, and the thrill of witnessing these three New Zealanders coming in first and second in that sensational race, driving two mighty Ford GT40s, has stayed with me for my entire life. Denny Holm was from my hometown in New Zealand, Te Puke, and my father was his family doctor. So at our house, we followed Denny's races every weekend. Bruce McLaren was a sensational Formula One driver, a beloved son of New Zealand, and the youngest man to win the United States Grand Prix in 1959. Chris Amon was his protege and destined to become another Kiwi champion. That's why the memory of that 66 Le Mans victory by my three Kiwi racing heroes subsequently became part of my life story. My father was a Ford man, driving English Ford Zephyrs and Aussie Ford Falcons. And in fact, my mother's father was also a Ford man, driving several Model A Fords in his life. I learned to drive on Dad's manual column shift cars, but over my life I've tried a lot of different cars. Initially they were small, economical and foreign, and then minivans and SUVs when I had my own family. Then I tried BMWs, Mercedes, two Porsche 911 Turbos, but I could never identify with those cars. The year 2006 was the 40th anniversary of the great Le Mans win, and Ford produced for the 2005-2006 years the second generation of their sensational original car, calling it the Ford GT. The car looked very similar to the original GT40, but was 44 inches tall rather than 40 inches for the 66 car. Still, it was a supercharged V8-powered 550 horsepower true derivative of the original, had a stick shift, and no traction control. The car was very keenly sought after. Only 4,000 were produced over a two-year production run and had a sticker price in the range of $140,000 to $160,000. I was never offered the opportunity to buy one then, and neither did I have the money available to purchase one at that time. But this 2005-2006 car was always intended to be a tribute to the original and was never intended to race at Le Mans. I loved the car. And a decade of my planning and saving was successful in 2016 when a friend of mine from New York, GT Joey, helped broker a deal for me to purchase a perfect white 2006 Ford GT with 5,000 miles and no stories. Finally, I thought I'd reached my sports car nirvana, but much to my surprise, there was more in store for me. In 2014, as the 50th anniversary of the fabled 1966 Le Mans when approached, Ford decided to build a third iteration of the Ford GT, and this was to be a Le Mans car, built to win the race against all competition. But to be competitive in 2016, with the new generations of sports cars, Ford had to build an entirely new Ford GT. This new Ford GT had to be light, aerodynamically slicker than snot, have a lightning-quick automatic double-clutch gearbox with paddle shifters, and a new small but very powerful engine. So they designed and built a twin turbocharged 3.5 liter V6 engine with 647 horsepower in a car full of carbon fiber and again hired the best race drivers. In 26 they went back to Le Mans with six cars and won the race again, beating Ferrari and everybody else. Now that new Ford GT was the best race car in the world. Ford took that race car, made it street legal, and sold it to a voracious baying crowd of car enthusiasts. The planned build number was tiny. initially 250 cars a year for 4 years, but later extended to a total of 1,350 cars over 6 years from 2017 to 2022. The cars had the same engine as the 2016 Le Mans winner, slightly upgraded in the 2020 model to 660 horsepower. Customers could design the exterior colour, the stripes, the wheels, the interior to customise it to their wants. Ford decided that in each of the first 4 years, 2017 to 2020, there were to be approximately 40 cars of the 250 built that mirrored the winning Ford GT livery for the 4 years it won from 1966 to 1969. They were labelled the Heritage Editions and were extremely sought after. So in 2017, the Heritage car was the car driven by Bruce McLaren and Chris Amon from the 66 race, a black car with silver stripes and the number 2. In 2018, it was red with white stripes, carried the number 1. In 2019, it carried the Golf colours, light blue and orange, was named the Golf Heritage and carried the number 9. And in 2020, it was a pimped Golf Heritage with number 6, but with the upgraded 660 horsepower engine. Getting on the list to be allowed to purchase one of the 250 cars per year was a real challenge, requiring an internet application and a selection by a process based on a myriad of factors deemed by Ford to be important and proof of worthiness. These factors included your life history of Ford ownership, whether or not you owned the previous 2005-2006 Ford GT, and other personal information that might be of interest to them. So I applied, along with 7,000 others, in 2016 for one of the first 500 cars to be allotted for 2017 and 18. And I was rejected. It was a bitter disappointment. In 2018, they came back with a second round of applications for the remaining 750 cars. 8,000 people applied, basically a very similar application process to the first, but this time Ford allowed submission of a 1-minute video with the application. Sue, my wife, had not been so interested in the Ford GT, but when they released the 2019 Heritage Edition, the Golf Heritage, she absolutely loved the colours. She was now much more supportive of my second round application, even though I knew that getting a Golf Heritage Edition was realistically an impossibility. The deal with the 40 Heritage cars that Ford made each year was that you could not order that option. Ford got to choose at the beginning of the model year the 40 people who they wanted to have the Heritage Edition. My chance of actually getting one, from my viewpoint, almost non-existent. So when I prepared my application in 2018, Sue, my wife, who believed there was a chance for a Golf Heritage, now threw her full artistic talent into production of a 1-minute video starring our 4-year-old grandson, decked out in a racing suit and helmet and tasked with servicing, gassing up, checking the tire pressure, checking the oil level, starting and driving our 2006 Ford GT and doing a wheel spin on the road. That was an impossibly cute video. The applications were in early December, and 3 months later, Ford chose the lucky 750 from the 8,000 applicants. And on 3/27/2019, an email arrived with the joyous news. They had selected us. Now that was a thrilling day. It felt like we had been blessed by Ford. We now started seriously considering the configuration of the car that we would get, the stripes, colours, options, interior colour, finish, etc. A very long year later, in late January 2020, we got the call from the Ford GT concierge, the manager in Ford Motor Company, who would help us select the particular car and its colours that we were going to get. Our order number was coming up, and we could begin the selection and configuration process formally with him. The first of 2 internet and phone sessions were arranged for us to personally go over everything and make our choices with the concierge. Now, the GT concierge was an incredibly pleasant person, originally from Germany, but with a certain Teutonic firmness about what could and could not be accomplished within the ordering rules. My wife, Sue, who's also of German heritage and incredibly sweet, I might say, got on the call with me, which was quite a surprise to the concierge, him anticipating only speaking to me. My initial interactions with the concierge were fun. but purposed and businesslike. But Sue became involved on the call and was completely into the colour selection, and she got on with the concierge like a house on fire. By the end of an hour, they were firm friends. So at the end of the first session, he inquired as to our opinion of what we'd seen and had we made up our minds. But Sue was puzzled. She inquired of the concierge, "Everything you've shown us, the colours, the interiors, the stripes, the wheels, are just beautiful. But you haven't shown us the gorgeous light blue and orange one that I've seen pictures of, the Gulf Heritage. I just love those colours." I, sitting beside her, squirmed a bit and bit my lip. A brief period of awkward silence occurred before he responded, "Oh, Mrs. Durwood, I am so sorry, but the people that you're going to receive that colour have already been selected by Ford, and unfortunately your husband and you were not chosen." Sue was crushed. "Oh dear, that's the one I have my heart set on. Please, isn't there something you can do to help us?" More awkward silence. I think the concierge was somewhat dumbstruck. "Well, Mrs. Durwood," he finally said, "I've not been asked to do this before. All I can say is that I will contact my bosses here at Ford and present your case." And the concierge is a man of his word. 2 weeks later, he called back. He didn't call me. He called back Sue. "Mrs. Durwood, Ford has agreed to make one more Gulf Heritage car for you," he said. Remarkable. Sue was over the moon. My wonderful wife. I really felt stunned. A small miracle had happened. It took over 6 months from ordering the car for it to be built and delivered. The car arrived on a big enclosed orange reliable delivery truck, and the GT delivery specialist from Ford, Steve Coates, handed it over with a terrific 4-hour instruction session. Dozens of friends and family had gathered to greet its arrival, along with our grandson, the star of the application video. It's difficult to imagine just how beautiful the car is up close. But the icing on the cake was the VIN number, the vehicle identification number that Ford had assigned to our particular car. The VIN number is embossed on the right front dash in the car next to a small American flag. The number assigned to our car was L169, which I came to realize was a highly significant number. The 2020 Gulf Heritage Ford GT, the one we have, celebrates the first place victory of the 1969 Le Mans race.
Ford, the very same car that won in 1968, wins the 1969 24 Hours of Le Mans.
That is where the 169 came from, and L is the Latin for 50, the 50th anniversary of the race, hence L169. I'm getting closer to retirement now, but looking back, I see the trajectory of history that the event that I witnessed as a 12-year-old New Zealand boy when that mighty Ford GT40 won at the 1966 race at Le Mans, winning first, second, and third place. The car repeating that win each year for 4 consecutive years, 1966 to 1969. The magnificent memory of that first victory with 3 New Zealand drivers has followed me through my life and has been a source of pride and inspiration. It's culminated now in my ownership of the sensational new Ford GT Gulf Heritage. To me, it realizes the words from the well-known Brooks and Dunn song, "Only in America." And the words go, "Only in America, dreaming in red, white, and blue. Only in America, where we dream as big as we want to. We all get a chance.
Husband. quite a kick, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's, for the first 600 miles, you're supposed to drive it with some restraint. It's kind of like running it in, like mm-hmm. in the old cars. Mm-hmm. At Ford, so Ford has kind of instructed me not to really push it. So I only pushed it 80%.
Woo! Yeah, that was a kick, and you heard, and it still had weight. It had a lot more power to go, right?
Yes.
That was good. Thank you. This is a special thing. I appreciate it.